You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Let's intro again.
Okay, wait, I need to go. I need to find my... Where did I put it? Oh, man. Where you at? There we go. Okay, I'm ready. So, here we are again. Having our current historical, hysterical, infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina having organisms.
All content made up on the spot, but probably researched-ish.
At least, no, you know, it's fact-checked.
We fact-check pretty well.
We do our work.
What is this?
What is this? What is this?
What are you in for? Welcome to My Vagina is a place for us to, you know, talk about our vaginas. And explore sexual taboos, push boundaries, counter stereotypes, expose the fucking patriarchy.
Fuck the patriarchy.
While focusing on sex education through laughter.
We have super interesting perspectives about just...
Because we have vaginas.
Yeah, we are very aware of the fact that we are two white women sitting here speaking about our own experiences and that we are not trying to erase the experiences of other people by assuming that ours should be considered the universal norms as opposed to white men. This is just our unique perspectives as white women going through the world. And we're hoping as time goes on, we can have special guests and other people come on. We can really start expanding that worldview and incorporating a lot of other different experiences. So that's really important to us. What we're doing, really, in my mind, is like we go through a world where everything is written by, for, and about white men. And we're just like, that's not the story. That's not the whole story, actually.
Right.
Like, here's our story. So our takes on everything is... unique and
yeah.
and different and like not written about in history books and all this other shit. And so like, yeah, you can talk about like that chair, but that chair was built for a 6 foot tall man.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I'm 5 foot three. So that chair was not built to accommodate me in any kind of way.
Right.
So we can just like talk about all of these things that we're not the focus of anything. And yeah. So we're like, no, shut up and focus on us.
Woo!
I should have picked a better example than a chair, but I went with it. I think it came out okay.
I'm into it.
Make this about the patriarchy. I'll make that chair about the patriarchy. Just watch. Ask me about cars.
Anything about the patriarchy.
Totally.
I pushed the button on the Xerox 914. I make perfect copies of whatever my boss needs by just turning a knob and pushing a button.
I'm going to talk about who we are.
Yeah.
What you're in for. Sorry. All right, I'll go first.
Yeah, do it.
I wrote a list. I'm really proud of it. I'm Jessie Karen. I like talking about vaginas. Pugs make me squeal like a lost kid in a mall. I have a slight obsession with dinosaurs. Slight.
Such bullshit. She's obsessed with it.
What the fuck? Small.
Where is your Stegosaurus backpack?
Shut your mouth. I am mostly proud of how many places I have traveled. I once fist bumped a monkey in Africa, and I have a picture to prove it, so don't test me. I mostly enjoy making people laugh, and I'm not proud that it is mostly through fart jokes.
I think more people need to understand that farts are hilarious.
They're hilarious.
So funny.
Box wine is classy. I don't care what my mom says. I have two guitars, but I don't know how to play them. Sometimes I still have to remind myself that misogynist starts with miso, like the soup.
That's a really good trick. I have a really hard time spelling that word.
I always want to put it M-Y-S-O.
Yeah.
And my roommates have banned me from using glitter which I maintain is totalitarianism.
I mean, it's the herpes of the craft world. However, I would just like to add right here that even though allegedly Jesse doesn't use glitter, when we went on a road trip, fucking confetti stars would just like appear everywhere that we went. And I don't know where she was hiding them.
Okay, Rebecca, who are you?
Who are
who
you?
Are you?
Hi. Waving at you.
Oh, hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. Hi.
When'd you get here?
I let myself in. I am Rebecca Frank. That's Rebecca.
Her.
That's Rebecca with a K-A-H. Shit is Old Testament. My middle name is Esther, which is my grandpa, Papa's mom's name. And I used to hate it so much.
Papa Smurf.
So when I graduated from high school, I told the principal not to read my middle name when he gave me my diploma, and Papa didn't speak to me for a week.
Aww.
It was really sad.
Aww.
Yeah. That's why I have these stars here, though. I got my star tattoo.
Aww.
Because Esther means star in Hebrew. It's like, of course, whatever. Yeah,
that's
anyway.
That's so cute.
Yeah, blah, blah.
I love it.
I'm a writer. So you can check my shit out at franklyrebecca.com.
Do it.
Frankly, Rebecca.
She knows better than you.
Where I've been writing about bird shit and sexism and ferrets since 2010.
Did you say ferrets?
Sure did. I wrote a whole post about ferrets. I haven't seen that one. Yeah, the guy who's the leader of the like rights for ferret society in New York City. True story.
Oh, I did read that one.
Yeah, like comments on my thing every year or so, which is just so fucking bonkers. I also like running.
Made it.
Yeah, exactly. David from the Ferrets Rights Society of New York City.
Fuck David.
Some bullshit like that. That guy's an asshole. I also like running, traveling, gymnastics, and my cats, except for when Clark shits in the tub out of spite.
Reed does it too.
She doesn't shit. Well, no, she had a stomach ache that day. She did it out of spite. She wasn't feeling good.
Now we know who the favorite is. I'm telling Clark.
He already knows. He's such a dick.
Let's talk about beef curtains. Except I kind of hate the terminology for beef curtains because it's against everything that I believe in. And it's basically what we're going to talk about today, which is full of a shame. Researching all of this really made my brain hurt.
It's important to show the diversity of vulvas. And again, I want to explain because I feel like people confuse vulva and vagina very often. And so I repeat this through a lot of my videos, and I will continue to repeat it here because I think a lot of people wouldn't even be able to tell you what a vulva is. And so your vulva is your external genitals. It's everything that you can see. It's the clitoris, the clitoral hood. It's your urethra and the entrance to your vagina. Yes, there are two holes. And then there's the labia minora, which is what I want to talk about today. And they're all different shapes and sizes. Like, I mean, think about it, too. Half the population has them, but can you, like, if I asked anybody out there right now to just draw a vulva, could you do it? Because we can all draw a dick.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Everyone can draw a dick, but can you just quickly, like, draw a vulva?
Couldn't.
Right. I mean, I can because I do it all the time.
Yeah, she does a lot of vulva drawing. Like, we literally, so just as, like, a small little aside when we're on here is that we went into a wine store and there was, like, a notebook opened and I was like, Jesse, go. And it was just, like, right, it's just what happens. If there's any, like, writing utensil and a draw-uponable surface, fucking vulva's all up in that shit.
I opened my computer at a bar the other day because I was trying to research and the labiaplasty was up and there was just vulvas everywhere. And I had this moment where I hovered over it like I was like watching porn.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why am I ashamed of this? But also I kind of understand because any genitals while people are eating dinner was a little like, I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally.
So I wasn't necessarily ashamed, but I was in like a nice restaurant. Like, yeah, even if I had like dicks all over it, I was like,
this maybe isn't the time.
Yeah.
No, I get that. There are times.
Well, there's not having realistic versions of a vulva is just, I think, extremely detrimental to our society and to like young girls growing up with the societal pressure that we all already have. And worse, pressure from a partner to cut off a sensitive part of your body that's because it's deemed more pleasant for someone's dick to enter it.
Yeah, for somebody else. And because people don't like the way it looks, there is a spectrum of what fits into normal. You know, it's the same thing as we think about, you know, body, just like general body shaming, that we have such a narrow idea of what something should look like, and anything outside of that is somehow gross. Young women, before they've even come into sexual maturity, before they've, because it takes a while, you know, because we're repressed for so long from like talking about things and experiencing things, and we're shamed for wanting to have sex and all this other stuff.
Right.
And so to think that people alter this part of them before they've even figured out, before they've really even been able to be in control of their own pleasure and feel pride in their own pleasure, then they never get to experience that.
Right. And I know that it's like empowering for women that they can change something that they don't like about themselves, but I feel like maybe the definition of that is still determined by masculine norms of like what looks good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we also all kind of grow up with that, the exposure, like as a young boys especially, like they're developing adolescent mind to like pornographic or like prepubescent, like females with like, or as I guess we've heard, any vulvas and like genital anatomy, which trains them to expect this as normal. And so then you have these young women who want to get labiaplasty before they even turn 16, 17 years old,
and cutting off this for it.
And their parents are paying for it, which is so much more, that's kind of not, I almost don't even want to say disgusting, because I feel like the parents just want their kid to be, but it should, you know, I feel like people should just sit down and talk to their kids and be like, this is normal. Your vagina is normal, or your vulva is normal. And I get it too. You're sometimes afraid for somebody to just like look at you. There's like this genital sexual shame that like you're, and I think we've all had it too with men that we've been with, like where you're not, you don't feel worthy of an orgasm, or, you know, worthy of a partner who can stimulate you to orgasm because you're taking too long. Like I've felt that pressure, and it's just, we're a lot of times catering to what men want. And so when I was, this gynecologist, Hilda Hutcherson, was saying that like, she's had young girls come in and be like, my boyfriend says I have things hanging down there. And she's like, well, did you tell your asshole of a boyfriend that he has shit hanging down there?
Exactly.
And does he want to cut off the most sensitive part of his body?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even think I've described what labiaplasty is.
Done.
It's basically slicing off part of your labia minora to make them smaller and reducing the inner lips of the vulva. And it's one of the fastest growing cosmetic surgeries. It's, what was that?
I'm reacting.
And it's had the second highest year-on-year growth. A total of 12,666 labiaplasty procedures were carried out in 2016, a 39% increase of the previous year.
Wow.
And I put a note that this article was amended because they had originally written that they had messed up the lips, even in the article.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like the Guardian had amended underneath later on that they originally wrote outer lips. Oh, when addressing inner lips.
Wow. So in covering this, they even got the anatomy wrong.
Right. And I just think it's so funny that we're all, even like an intelligent like journalist was like, fuck, I fucked up.
You know? Like,
That's how little we know about the female anatomy. And even though it's complicated, I don't think it's that complicated. I think we just haven't been taught.
Right.
And, you know, like our sex ed class. I mean, there was another story where this woman was like, my professor in college said penis and then said, and the female parts. And it's like, just fucking say vagina or vulva.
Whatever. What? Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
a professor. This is a teaching moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and this is not a shameful thing.
Right. But that's the thing. It's just like, I just think so much of what's associated with women's pleasure and sexuality is shamed.
So again, I think language is really important because it's how we perceive the world around us. And so I do think these anatomical, like knowing what things are actually really important. When we say vagina, we're collectively ignoring what we can see of the female anatomy, like the clitoris and the urethra. And the vagina is basically how a man comes. That's what that is. And most women need, what's funny to me is that most women actually need clitoral stimulation by like hand, mouth, or some other object in order to orgasm rather than cock penetration alone.
Right.
And calling the vagina the vulva keeps the focus straight on male pleasure. So we've continuously called the vulva the vagina for so long, and right. that's not the anatomical word for it. And we're kind of ignoring our own anatomy and using something that is more beneficial to a man. Right.
I mean, I think part of that too is that we're kind of grouping our anatomy under one. I think we would both argue, and this isn't like a feminist perspective. This is an actual thing. Women's genitalia is more complicated, and it's internal. You know, it's more sensitive. And I think, aside from all of that, I think that when there's obviously more language around male genitalia than we necessarily use in like a day-to-day conversation, but oversimplifying women's anatomy makes it not only easier to ignore a whole bunch of it, but also puts it on the same kind of, it puts it in a more kind of male-centered vernacular
right.
to me. Because now, like, on top of male pleasure, which is like a really big point, which is that, like, you know, men don't have to focus on these other things because it's all about them.
Right.
But it's also that women being undereducated and unaware of their own anatomy and having the language of their anatomy kind of couched in simplistic terms makes space for all of these different areas of shame where women think that there's something wrong with them and maybe get some sort of procedure.
Right. And in addition to that, and I'll go back to the procedure in a second, I was watching, it's a Guardian web series called Vagina. Oh, what is it?
I would love to see what percentage of your browser history is just vagina.
It's so much. It's so much. Sorry. So it's the Vagina Dispatches is part of the Guardian. And it's interesting to me that there was a study in 2005 that measured the size of your labia minora, how far it stretched. There was a study done on male length in 1899. That's what I thought was so funny. So a study for women published in 2005 was the first major study to measure vulvas. The first study that measured the penis came in 1899.
Wow.
So, yeah, I do agree. It's a lot. I mean, obviously I agree, but it's a lot about procedures. But to me, this was also like, why have we been studying this super, simple.
Yeah.
Male structure.
Yeah.
And this super complicated and beautiful, like, woman's anatomy is not being addressed at all.
Yeah.
How has there never been a study for that?
Yeah. No, that's insane.
And you asked why, but it's almost like, why not? Why?
Right, totally.
Well, because that not happened.
Because my assumption was that this study wasn't the first study, that these studies had been happening and there was another study for some specific thing.
That's what I'm saying. Is right. It never occurred to anybody until 2005 to address that when a penis was measured, the average size of a penis was measured in 1899.
So my question is, now that, is this study part of what is leading to, is vulva shaming like a new thing?
So in the early 19th century, Sarah Bartman was taken from South Africa and shown at freak shows for her longer labia and big butt. Doctors said she was sexually deviant because of her hypertrophic labia. And because I had to look that up because I didn't really understand when I was doing all of my research, because scientific journals are
confusing as
fuck. Oh my God, it was so hard. I kept seeing the word hypertrophy, which I didn't understand. And it's the enlargement of an organ or tissue from the increase in size of cells. When I started researching labiaplasty, and because I kept seeing that word, and it was journals about like how to go about it and what to list it as, and it was saying that it mostly seemed for aesthetic purposes that people are going and getting labiaplasty, but they kept throwing around the word hypertrophy.
We had to listen to this like 16 times.
To that a couple of times.
It's really hard.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone's learning with us.
Yes.
That's kind of the point of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I found this woman, Lily Thomas, who's an MD, and she kind of points out that there's a diversity and various different types, colors, shapes, sizes of vulvas, and that it's perfectly normal and should not be interpreted as hypertrophy or abnormal in any way.
Right.
And so I wonder how much of it is people actually being uncomfortable and how much of it is about aesthetic. Because when I was reading the reviews from these women, it was a lot of it was a lot of them having nerve damage after the fact and not realizing that everything down there is connected by nerves and what that means for you and your sexual arousal and your discomfort. And so a lot of women either wound up being numb or not having any sex drive. And because I think a lot of doctors are kind of, and I hate to say hacking into it, but not really thinking about what that means for the feeling of it versus what it looks like, because we're all conditioned to by the media and by porn or the internet and TV that our vagina is supposed to look a certain way and that it's and that's just not how it works.
Yeah. I mean, just like there's a vast array of different ways, different body types, different facial structures, skin colors, all these different things. It's not like we're all going to be different people and have the same cookie cutter genitalia attached to each body.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, obviously that's going to also be unique.
Mm-hmm. There's just various grades of like body dysmorphia, including like digitally modified image of undernourished and cosmetically like altered women, female. And
yeah,
that includes the vulvas that we see on porn are just not what they all look like. And we don't have enough realistic
photos to look at. Aren't largely encouraged to use a mirror and check out their own genitalia to get an idea of what we look like.
Right. I mean, really want more people to do.
Yeah, it's really important because it's not like you just look in the mirror and it's like you can see everything.
I know there's a shame to looking at it, but I encourage all of you to get a mirror out and check it out. It's awesome.
Yeah, investigate. Like, see what all's there.
Without judgment. Go into it without judgment.
Yeah, just because the thing about it is there's, I mean, to go to your point about all the nerve damage and things like that, I think that there's a lot of times so much structure on, or so much, what's the word that I'm looking for? So much more focus placed on the aesthetics of something, like you were saying, than there is on the actual functionality of it, especially when we think about women's sexual arousal, which is something that's not generally focused on.
Of course.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who was telling me the story about this group, and I want to say it was like young women in a school district in Canada, where they took young women and they had a conversation before most young women really got super sexually active. You know, people are experimenting a little bit. And I know people have sex in high school and middle school sometimes, but you really, you know, you start having more sex like as time goes on, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, there's a varying degree of experience when you're, you know, 15, 16 years old. And they took a bunch of young women, and they had a conversation without men present about what they would look for in sexual arousal, tried to make it a comfortable conversation where women could actually think about their own sexuality and their own pleasure.
Whoa.
And put the right, which is fucking mind blowing that people would actually take the time to do
this. That's not how I learned.
Right. No, not
at all.
I was
very ashamed of my body when
Absolutely.
I was younger.
I just think so much of what you're saying about the focus not being on
a woman's sexual, I mean, yeah, right. We're so focused on what pleases a man sexually, but mm-hmm. I was always ashamed. I don't think I looked at my vulva until I was a full grown adult.
Oh,
you know?
Solidly in college for me.
If not later, honestly, yeah. I remember even the idea of masturbation. I was just as, you know, the idea that men get horny and women don't is always so hilarious to me because I remember being horny, but I remember touching my own vagina and being like, this is wrong. I shouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I got over it real quickly because once I figured it out, I was like, I'm not going to stop doing that.
Yeah.
But it took a while, and it took a while to do it with gusto.
Yeah. In sexuality yet.
Yeah. I mean, like going through and like seeing all of these women who are 16, 17 years old leave the reviews that are like, I'm going to go get labiaplasty. I'm so excited. Was so gut wrenching to me and that they didn't consider their perfectly normal vulvas attractive made me want to punch the patriarchy right in the dick hole.
Yeah. It takes people so long to get to the point where we can enjoy sex and feel comfortable having sex, and to think that people don't ever get to experience that because of some fucking bullshit patriarchal standard is.
Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting.
It's not a health issue.
No. No.
Also, the way that it was. And I'm going to pull this up. The way that it's been depicted has been illustrated by men right. in Western history since the 17th century, proving that the vulva, considered a natural fact, has been socially constructed. Because if you go through that, like, first one was a Danish anatomist. Did I say that wrong? That's how you say it, right?
Anatomist. I think that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded weird.
Yeah, it did. It did, but I think it's right.
A Danish anatomist, Caspar Bartholins, illustrated the female lust organs from the 17th century, showed the
female lust organs.
Yeah, quote unquote. Sorry. I didn't do the quote unquote.
Can we just have a moment?
I'm going, like, to draw a depiction of the female lust organs.
Like, he did. It wasn't even just, yeah, because we're witches, essentially. That's that. It makes us sound like siren. Lust organs. We're drawing men to our
bounty. I'm like right now imagining like a phone sex operator, you know?
Phone sex operator.
I can feel you in my lust organs, you know? It's like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, keep going.
But he showed the clitoral erectile tissue and the crura, similar to the way that they're depicted today. But it goes on, and like this other German anatomist, George, drew it an enlargement of the shaft of the clitoris similar to a penis. Mm-hmm. And then in 1901, the addition of Gray's Anatomy, the clitoris is labeled and somewhat prominently featured. But then in 1948, poof, the clitoris disappears. And it's just gone. Like, it's all designed by a man.
Right. And our sexual pleasure is not, it either, like, in that one drawing, looks like a dick, mm-hmm. and then it appears for a little while, and then, like, poof, there comes, like, the
main organ for sexual arousal, deleted from the prominent textbook on human anatomy. Gone.
Yeah. Is it back now?
I mean, you tell me. We can't even draw a fucking vulva.
Yeah.
How many people know where their clitoris is?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I do, so it's baffling to me that people don't.
I mean, how could you?
I know a lot of men who don't know where it is.
Yeah. I mean, but you'd think, yeah, that's for damn sure. You know, but you think, like,
overshadowed by the penis.
It's just, like, again, like, leaving that out entirely just goes to show you how men's sexual pleasure is, how sex as pleasure for men is an acceptable thing, and for women, sex is solely for reproductive purposes.
Right. Exactly.
And so, like, none of the pleasure, none of our lust organs or pleasure organs or whatever fucking we want to call them are important.
The more I research, the more it convinces me that we're so powerful that men are just so afraid that they are trying to, like, brush it under the rug. I know that sounds kind of silly, but, like,
the more
that I read and the more I feel empowered, the more I'm like, are we just, like, so powerful that you're afraid of us?
Yes. Well, because even just think about reproduction, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so the dude gives us, like, a school of little fish, right? Mm-hmm. And we build everything. Our bodies build everything.
Builders.
Yeah.
We're architects of life, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Boom.
Yeah. That's right. Boom.
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 Life architects. Suck it, motherfucker.
At this point, I think, because we have to carry out all of these things under the crushing weight of the patriarchy. And we still do all of that. And imagine what we could do.
We're super strong.
If we were set free.
No, Betty, that's wrong. Let me show you again.
So to lighten up this mood, I'm going to tell you a few dirty one-liners. What do you call a cheap circumcision? What? Wow. Let me. Sounds like an exorcism.
Yeah, it really did.
What do you call a cheap circumcision?
What do you call a cheap circumcision?
A ripoff.
It's going to feel like a Band-Aid. Just got to get it off in one pull.
How does a woman scare a gynecologist?
I don't know how.
By becoming a ventriloquist.
Yo, could you imagine? You're fucking down there. She fucking throws her voice through her pussy.
Like, what would I say?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think, like, what you see, brother. Yeah, right. Mind the folds. Let's do another one.
Yeah.
I found a terrible joke.
Okay.
It's not a good one, though.
Okay.
I was really mad about it.
Okay.
What is a vagina?
That's what we're going to learn here.
The box of penis comes in.
No.
I know.
Okay, that
I ruined it.
That's what we're going to talk about here.
I know.
That's exactly it. That's That's our podcast.
Fucking go fuck suck yourself. A dick.
Yeah, suck your own
That's
dick.
That's the right.
Isn't that what you say?
Grow your own dick and suck
That's
it.
What it is.
This was the joke that I wanted to say because I thought it was funny. What do you call a bunny with a crooked dick?
What?
Fuck's funny.
That's cute.
That is cute. I like that one. I like that one.
Well, thank you for listening to Welcome to My Vagina.
It's time for us to slide on out of here. You like that?
Not you.
We would like to thank our super duper producer, Caitlin Moldenhauer of More Banana Productions, for producing us, hosting us, and for helping us reach our goals.
I know this because in her day planner, it says, help Jessie reach her goals. Best cheerleader ever. Please check out franklyrebecca.com, where Rebecca slays you, politically smacks you, and reminds any misogynist to sit down and shut up because she's smarter than you.
Please also check us out at welcometomyvagina.com. Check out our latest videos on YouTube. Find us on Instagram at welcometomyvagina and Twitter at welcometomyvag.
Thank you so much for listening, and we are stoked to prick your ears in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.